Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Welcome to the Yellow Block on the TalkSport Fan Network. You've probably forgotten, but I am Tim. It's been a while. Apologies. Full panel this evening. I've got Nathan. Good evening, sir.
All right.
3 weeks, Nathan, until you are Mrs. Nathan. Looking forward to that?
Yes. Yeah, no, I am. Of course I am. But like I said to Sam, I'm just not looking forward to parting with the money to pay for it.
3 weeks, though. It's all go at this point, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, busy, busy, busy.
Have you got me sat next to Jared, or what's the plan looking like?
I mean, by all means, take any seat you want. You can have front row.
I'll need two, though.
I'll do that dramatic. Yeah, I'll do that dramatic thing. Well, hold on. Actually, it's just occurred to me. Good evening, Jared. You're thinking there's a buffet here, right? That's why you popped in at that point.
Yeah. That is true.
It's a hog roast. It's not a buffet, but yeah.
Yeah.
Tuck in.
Is it one of them gross though, where they got the head in the apple? I'm not a fan of that.
No, we're classier than that.
Well, I did presume so, of course.
I've got a really inappropriate thought in my head, but I'm growing up and I'm going to keep it there. I've also been joined this evening by Mr. Sam Edwards. Hello, sir.
Good evening, Timothy.
How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Sam, our friends Ginger Pigeon has been on.
Good old the Ginger Pidge.
Yeah, just throwing a little communication your way, just to have a think about this while I chat to Jared. So Ginger Pigeon says, despite our recent misunderstanding, RE Motorway Services, I do quite enjoy Sam's presence on the podcast. He clearly brings experience and knowledge, and his tones are easy on the ears. That said, I find myself becoming increasingly frustrated at his evident media training and inability to voice an opinion that is not on the fence. It has, in fact, it's so much on the fence, it's grown moss and been seconded by a small but virile family of mice. He has years of coalface experience at the club, and there must have been so many times when he had to bite his lip. Please, for the love of Gianfranco Zola, can he give us a controversial opinion once in a while, and not the irk of Gloucester Services is crap, because that's not controversial. It's just wrong. Sam, whilst you have a think about the one nugget of information that you've been sat on all of these years, I will also introduce Jared Farmer. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. Jared, episode 200 this evening. 200 not out. That's an incredible achievement. Obviously, you were there from day dot. You look surprised. Clearly didn't know. Thanks very much for being aware. Thoughts on that?
I didn't know that, no. What was the last one we did? Was it 150 or was it 100?
No, it was 199, because that comes before 200.
No, you dickhead. I mean, the last milestone. That's gone quick.
Sometimes. Well, it would have. Yeah, so the last milestone, I mean, yeah, that'd be 150, Jared. So, you know, we've worked on counting now. Like, what... I can't believe you just asked.
No, I wish sometimes that we recorded in person. I really do.
I wouldn't be this brave in person, that's for sure. You're about 4 foot higher than me. So, I mean, it's good, Jared. Let's start that again. Best memory from those 200s?
There's been a few. Obviously, we've got to interview loads of different people. But I like how we started the Fruit Shoot Army up, and now obviously they're a big thing there, aren't they? So quite proud of that.
And you take full credit for that as well, don't you?
Absolutely.
It is incredible, though. 200s, when you consider just started out with you, Jim, Kisby, and producer Danny, I think that's, you know, it's pretty impressive how it's gone. I suppose segues nicely into the apologies that we've not recorded since. I was trying to work out when we last recorded. I've got a funny feeling we've had the Cambridgeshire Derby and everything else. And I was trying to work out if we recorded after we got to Wembley or not. I don't know if we have. Potentially not, in which case we need to discuss that, really. Apologies for the gap. There isn't really an excuse. It's just everyone's a bit busy, I suppose. And let's be honest, this podcast doesn't roll without producer Danny pulling the strings. And producer Danny's quite busy at the minute, what with his court case and all of that stuff. But pending the outcome of his plea hearing, we should hopefully be back to recording regular intervals. For the record, Your Honour, that is a joke. He's not actually been arrested and charged. That was Jared. Sam, throwing back to you then, what's this one nugget of information that you've been sat on with this time?
Tim shouldn't have won host of the season last year.
We're coming into that time of year, you know. But there must be something that you've always had to bite your tongue about at the club.
Not really. I mean, I've inadvertently rubbed people up the wrong way a few times.
Well, that time Fergie had a go at you.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Like,
I think he secretly liked Steve Evans a lot.
Do you know, Steve Evans is an interesting man.
He's a cretin.
He is both responsible for treating me the best anyone's ever treated me as a football manager, and treating me the worst anyone's treated me as a football manager. Him at his best, he was absolutely delightful to work with. Him at his worst was the complete opposite.
What did he do?
Well, like, the good things about Steve, when he came in that first season and had the heart kind of like back end of that season, at the end of season awards, he had me on his table next to him and Paul Rayner, and it was a great evening. He was really insightful, really, really giving you a lot of information. He'd give you so many good nuggets, like on the team, and just be, you know, and kind of trust you in that way and give you a lot. But then at his worst, it wasn't me so much, but, you know, sort of the radio station, he really sort of turned and obviously wouldn't speak to us, and we were given transcripts of interviews that we were doing and pointing out all the things that were wrong or inconsistent, and it really started to get a bit nasty, and the club had to build quite a big relationship back with the local radio after he left, and it just came with him being under pressure on the pitch. But when they were doing well, he was brilliant.
I will happily go on record and say I dislike Steve Evans intently. I'm sure that's already been voiced many a times before. I'm not one to sit on the fence, Sam. Nathan, I'm more than happy to throw my opinion out there. There is no way Steve Evans should ever have been allowed near a football club after what he did at Boston United. But can we just talk? We've got many games to talk about, but let's just quickly talk about the Stevenage game. Because what's really starting, well, has always annoyed me about Steve Evans is this woe is me character that he portrays. And Sam, I wonder if he was like this so much when he was at Posh. I'll be honest, I don't know, because I refused to watch any interviews with Steve Evans whilst he was at the club. Was he always blaming the referee? Was he always, everything's against us, everything is anti-football, everything is, it's all our fault? And I think the pinnacle example of this was the game that we played against them last week, where he went on to berate the referee, but conveniently forgot to mention the off-the-ball incident, which has since in their captain given a three-match suspension. So clearly the world isn't against Stevenage as much as he likes to think. Was he like that at Posh, Sam?
There was always someone to blame in an interview, if not, you know, 90% of the time the referee. I think his interview from this weekend, the name drop that he went for was Howard Webb this time.
Yes, there's so always a name drop in the morning, didn't he? Yeah.
there's either a name drop or someone to blame. I mean, the most striking example of his time at Posh was when it was his first full season. We'd had that stonking start, and you know, Godden and Cummings and Dembele were just tearing it up. We'd won the first five, and still had had a really sort of decent record. And then we went to Wickham in like the October or November, I can't remember when, but it was maybe, you know, a good few weeks into the season. And Godden missed a one-on-one and we lost the game 1-0 to, I think, like a deflected free kick. But Godden missed a chance at 0-0 and Godden was the subject of that attack. And that didn't sit well with me, because at least when it's the referee or an outside source or the fan, you know, the opposition fans or something like that, you can kind of see what he's getting at. But that one was a new one. But yeah, there was always someone. It was always going into an interview with Steve thinking, I have no idea which way this is going to go. But it kept you on your toes. It was good learning.
Yeah, it's just boring. Like, can't you just go, do you know what, we're being about a better team, or we weren't good enough, or, you know, I didn't do well enough as a manager. You'd have so much more respect. I found this on Twitter earlier. This is from, I believe it's from a Gillingham fan. I'm not quite sure why they've waded in, but in any case, somebody called Joe on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, says, I've seen a lot of Stevenage fans absolutely losing it on Twitter after their loss yesterday. Evans has them all convinced the whole world is conspiring against them like he did with us. Ah, that would explain the Gillingham connection. In reality, the rest aren't against you. They're just not very good, in brackets, for all teams except Wimbledon. He then goes on to say, they've done very well this year, but the third season is usually where Evans loses the plot, so they should probably just enjoy it while they can. Nathan, there's a chance to come off the fence here. What's your view on Steve?
I could not stand the man particularly, if I'm 110% honest. He's just... The trouble is that obviously he's had a reasonably successful career as a manager, but he's incredibly unlikable if he's not managing your club. I mean, a prime example, I remember taking my dad to see us play Portsmouth in that season. I think it was the second season. And we counted 8 consecutive passes between our players against Portsmouth, which for a posh side is just shocking. And it was just the worst, most stodgied, uninspiring, boring, defensively minded brand of football I'd ever watched. I didn't go back that season purely because it was just awful. That's kind of my opinion on him, is that his brand of football doesn't really suit any longer. And while, yes, obviously they're having a reasonable season, it's not the kind of tactic that I think inspires fans, and it never really is ultimately successful. That covers it.
I agree. It's a fair opinion. So I was trying to work out when we last recorded. I'm pretty sure it's before the Cambridgeshire game, which obviously we won 1-0. Since then, so in March, we beat Exeter 2-1, beat Northampton, that's 5-1, just dispatch them as you do. Burton Albion been away 3-1. Then Stevenage 3-1 at home, and then this weekend we have lost to Pompey. So prior to this weekend, we've been in some good form. Lots of games to talk about there, Jared. Let's pick the Stevenage one out just while we're talking about big Steve Evans. This was not our best performance, but it was a good win. It was one of those wins that you have to go, yeah, that's a solid 3 points, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was always going to be a tough one. You know how Steve Evans plays, as you've just been talking about, how much you love the football, Nathan. He's dogged, isn't he? It's always going to be rough. And I think that the thing that annoyed me was that Piergiani, whatever his name is, I think that was horrendous. I know he's been banned now, but it was really, really bad. And for no official to see it was just as shocking, really. I just wish it had been someone like JCH who'd have given one back and not Ricky J. Jones.
Yeah, Ricky J. Jones, subject to discussion, of course, at some point. Sam, the derbies, 1-0 away at Cambridge, who since then, the wheels have not just fallen off, they've been packed away at the scrapyard, it seems. Could ship 10 goals in the last 2 games, I believe, Cambridge have. And then Northampton came to London Road and got dispatched 5-1. So that's 5-0 and 5-1 against our two rivals at home this season. You can't ask for much more than that at London Road.
No, absolutely excellent. Yeah, very different performances, very different scorelines. And it's been pleasing to see Cambridge's demise since then as well. And it's not really been turned around, has it, with Monk arriving at the Abbey? It was the Cambridge game. It's just one of those, wasn't it, where one not necessarily straightforward, you know, not necessarily intentional goal is just a bit of a local derby like that, a bit dogged. They were trying to drag us down to their level as well, weren't they, I think? And so to get that win was absolutely crucial, because, you know, we were in such a bad run, weren't we, before then. You know, we'd put so much momentum into the season, and then it had just started to derail again. So I think fair credit really to Fergie, the way he turned it around. I think when we were last recording, we were on that losing streak, weren't we? And he was starting to chop and change the team. And we were talking about, you know, I think he's out of form as well as a manager, as well as the players. He wasn't quite picking the best team and didn't know what his best team was. And I know he went with Mothersill up top, but since then he's kind of been consistent again. He's gone back to the sort of the system and the people that work for so much of the season. And I think he's rotating Mothersill and Ricky J. Jones quite nicely now as well. So it was not the sort of best of games, but it got us back on course.
March as a whole, Nathan, it's, you've got to say, bar the Pompey game, we've been playing well. We've been in really good form. Dan Topknot welding is over to pop on at some point, because I need to challenge a certain comment that he made in our group chat. However, we have been in good form, but we've not kept a single clean sheet all month. The last clean sheet was that Cambridge win away at the Shabby. I mean, it's difficult on the back of a defeat to Pompey, but what's your kind of overview of March so far?
I think pretty good. I mean, you know, it's a solid 8 out of 10. It's just obviously the loss against Pompey, which, you know, ultimately they probably are going to win the league, and they are a very, very good side, and we went toe-to-toe with them. You know, we're unlucky to lose the game. So I think, you know, March, you know, consistently has been solid. I don't think we've had a particularly poor performance across the month. We've had good results. I think what's pleasing for me is that we're actually seeing a side that can go a goal down and can then come back, and it's not a problem.
Is that MSN Messenger, Nathan? That's like the old MSN Messenger.
It's a football group chat. No, it's a football group chat.
They're the bills coming in for his wedding.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of them.
Making out like he's got loads of other friends there. Like, oh, yeah, it's just a group chat. I mean, I'm in a lot of group chats, Nathan.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure you are with the pepper and various other condiments. But yeah, to go back to what I was saying, so yeah, March has been a very, very good month, and performance-wise, it hasn't been poor in any way, shape or form. But the point I was making was that, yeah, if we do concede, we seem to be able to get back into games comfortably. We don't look to be overawed, whereas I think in previous seasons, especially last season, it, you know, that would be a concern. But actually, you know, we're really, really strong in that. And maybe sometimes it wakes us up and gives us a nudge rather than the opposite way in terms of kind of putting us under pressure. So, yeah, I think March has been a very, very good month. And we seem to have set ourselves well for the rest of the season. It's just, yeah, such a shame that we couldn't have nicked a win yesterday, or at least got a draw and continued the momentum. But, yeah, I guess next week is another key one for us, and see if we can get back on the horse and back to winning ways again.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of a gap now. The Cheltenham away game has been postponed because of international call-ups. We've got a couple of weeks now. League table looks like so. 8 games left for Posh now. Definitely in the business end of the season. So Pompey top, they've played 39, 83 points. Derby second, also played 39, 78 points. Then in the playoffs, we've got Bolton played 39, so a game extra, 74 points. Posh played 38, 71 points. Win our game in hand. We've got the same goal difference at the moment, but obviously if we win that game in hand, we would leapfrog Bolton, and it would put us 4 points off the autos. And then Barnsley and Oxford currently make up the playoffs. However, it's tight. Oxford, Lincoln, Stevenage and Blackpool could all realistically still make the playoffs. Yeah, it's tight at the top. You'd like to think Jared were probably, I don't want to say safe for the playoffs now, but we are 10 points inside that playoffs. Is it playoffs for you, or is automatics still on?
No, I think automatics is still on. I was massively deflated yesterday. I think we played really well against Portsmouth. It's sloppy in possession quite a few times. Although, you know what I'm like with stats and the way people play football, it's not a huge thing for me. Don't get me wrong, when it comes off, it's very nice to watch. But should we hoof the ball up and end up winning, for me, it's all about the result. But at times it was frustrating yesterday, because we just wasn't playing, Saturday rather. It was frustrating because the way we insist on playing football, you have to have the players to do that, and we have. But again, on Saturday they were losing possession in silly places, so I still think automatics are on. I think, obviously, we've got that game in hand. It will be tight, but if you look at our running, I think it's favourable. I think there's every chance we could sneak into second.
are running Carlisle at home, rounds out March. Then we are away to Leyton Orient, home to, home to Wickham, but that's the Wembley, so that's definitely not at home. Away to Leyton Orient start of the month, home to Port Vale, away to Oxford, home to Fleetwood, away to Bristol Rovers, away to Cheltenham. And then we end April and the league at home to Bolton. So, yeah, it's a good run in, certainly compared to Pompey, who have got it quite rough. Derby's is a little bit more indifferent. You'd have to say, Sam, we do have the most favourable run in. But, and as I've said to you guys numerous times, it still doesn't mean that that's a shoe in for us.
No, but I think it's going all the way. I think it will be a final day decider. As Jared just said, yeah, very deflating yesterday, especially when, you know, the score was what it was at halftime. We're such a strong second half team this season. I think, you know, we're comfortably the strongest. It's maybe Barnsley and Derby who are close to us, but, you know, we're comfortably the best team in the second half. And I thought we'd set it up quite nicely. And yeah, that's why Portsmouth will ultimately go on and win the league, you know, the only team to stop us scoring at home. So, yeah, I really think it's going all the way. You know, that game in hand, there's still enough points to play for. And yeah, I think it's almost written, isn't it? Us playing Bolton on the final game of the season. That's what's, the, you know, whether it's Bolton we're sort of up against for that final spot or Derby or whether it's all three of us, I think we're set for a very exciting finish.
Yeah, I agree. I think we are. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk about that Pompey game though. Obviously, that's in the most recent memory. I've got to say, this was an incredible game. I did not want this to end. Obviously, I was gutted that we didn't take anything from this, but this was really, really special and a fantastic advert, Nathan, for League One football. It was end-to-end. The quality was good. I don't think the stats necessarily represent the game. It looks like it wasn't that particularly attacking on either side, but it felt like there was always something happening. I thought everybody, and I include the fans in this, and Jared, we're going to talk about Pompey fans in a second, but the atmosphere was brilliant. Fans played their part. Special shout out to the officials. I think he helped make this game really, really special this weekend. It was just a good game, Nathan. Really exciting, expansive forward play. Two really good sides. And I kind of felt like no one deserved to lose this one.
You do get those games. And ultimately, like I said earlier, it's a testament to us that we took on, you know, a side that is probably going to win the league and is also, you know, a massive club in comparison to us when it comes to League One. And we've gone toe-to-toe with them and we've come out of it thinking that we're unlucky, A, not to win it or at least, you know, get a draw. But, you know, unfortunately, League One football can be ruthless. I guess professional football in general can be ruthless. And it's one of those games where, yeah, we just couldn't take our chances, just didn't quite get that final ball right. You know, we've hit the crossbar. You know, we've had opportunities where we normally would be a lot more ruthless, as we have been. You know, such as that Stevenage game during the week, we were absolutely ruthless in that game. But you know, Portsmouth have hung in there. As Sam says, you know, we're a very, very good side in the second half, and Portsmouth have absolutely done a job there in terms of keeping us, you know, as quiet as possible and manage to hang in there and then go and break away and score a good winner. So, yeah, it's like you say, it's a fantastic advert for our league, I guess. And hopefully we can join Pompey in the championship as well, because I think that would make another great game. But we'll have to see. But, yeah, no, I think we're in a good position.
I think it's also credit to how good we are, the fact that Pompey, it was like they'd won the cup final. They were delighted with this win. Obviously, you like to think Peter is a difficult place to come in and win anyway. But on social media afterwards, they talked about how, you know, we're supposedly the best team in the league. So clearly, we're not because they can beat us and so on and so forth. I think it was a real showcase of just how good we are as well. Certainly better than the Stevenage performance, ironically. But I guess that's just football. And Nathan as well, just, obviously, Ryan de Havilland had to come in with Kyprianou suspended. I think special props to him. He looked, I mean, if I'm Fergie, I'm thinking, does Kyprianou get back in after that performance?
I think he did have a very, very good game. And if I'm honest, we've not seen too much of him. It's been sort of fits and starts, little bits here and there. But, you know, this is the first chance that we've seen him against, you know, a really, really good side. And he certainly held his own and proved that he's capable at this level. I know Dara has spoken, you know, previously, and he said that he'll play a part and he'll be important for us. And I can see that, you know, in any promotion season, obviously, hopefully that we do have this year. You've always got those players. I mean, look at Ethan Hamilton and the part he played in getting us promoted a few seasons back. You know, you have players like that that come in and make a difference, and he certainly seems to potentially have the ability to do that. And it's, yeah, it's really, really good to see that, you know, it's another player that we've plucked from non-league, given an opportunity. I know he came through at Fulham. But yeah, it's fantastic to see. And yeah, he can definitely rival Kyprianou. I mean, you know, I'm a big, big believer in Kyprianou, and I think he's you know, arguably one of the best midfielders in the league, if not the best. So it's definitely going to be a difficult battle for De Havilland to get in ahead of him, but he's certainly going to give him a run for his money, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree. Sam, you like a stat. Did you know, I mentioned the referee. I saw you nodding along. I'm hoping it was in agreement that he helped make this game enjoyable against Pompey. It was Alex Chilowitz. Now, fun fact for you, up until December last year, Alex was actually refereeing in the MLS. He's American, moved to England in January or December, I should say, last year, and has since been refereeing in Leagues 1 and League 2. So what we can take from that, and I would just like to put this out there to all the fans that will come at me and say how crappy it was, League 1, League 2 is equivalent, it would seem, in level to the MLS. Just bear that in mind next time everyone's slating the referees at this level. We're actually equivalent to top tier in many other countries. Sam, what did you make of the referees' performance? Do you feel it impacted the game in any way?
Yeah, well, that, I was just going to say, going back to that point, it reminds me of there was that chap from Australia, wasn't there?
Jared Gillett, who is now a Premier League.
Absolutely. Yeah. And came from top flight in Australia as well. So
his first game, sorry, Sam, cut you off. Another fun fact about Jared Gillett, his first game in England was at Posh.
I remember it. He did, yeah, he did, and he lived up to the hype. They always do, though, don't they, referees, when they're letting games go and not pulling it back. And yeah, they play such a big part in the rhythm of the game. So it definitely adds to it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Jared, a couple of things to throw at you. Let's talk Jade Elkotongo, because I understand you've been listening to our chairman's podcast, so I'd like to talk about Katongo shortly, eye roll. But before we do that, let's just talk about the atmosphere against Pompey. It was sensational, and it really helped create what for me was probably the game of the season so far, which seems strange when we've lost it, but it was just so much fun from start to finish. But Darren's come out and criticised the 4,000 Pompey fans. We've debated before around should we allow that many in as away fans and that kind of do you make money versus keeping it a hostile atmosphere? What was your view on what Fergie said?
Well, the club will always choose money. That's a fact. It will always be financially driven. And that's the perfect example. I understand where Fergie's coming from. Of course, it helps the opposition team. We all know, especially Sam, after a game, Fergie can be a little bit funny, can't he, quite quickly. So I just think he was annoyed about that. He's got a point, though. Of course, it will help Portsmouth. But if we want to go on to the Championship, hostile atmospheres is what you play in every week. So for me, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's a fantastic atmosphere, like you say. I do understand his point. It's probably, you know, if you'd have limited them to 1,600, you don't know, it could have had an effect. But no, it's that's a poor excuse. Great game, great atmosphere. And yeah, you've got to get used to them atmospheres if you want to be a Championship club.
You do. I think my view here is where we're putting them. And I know we've discussed it before, but yeah, by all means, bring 4,000 Pompey fans, but don't put them in an entire stand behind one goal on their own. Put them in the like the yellow block corner and across that main stand. Because the problem is when you have so many in the I know it's not the motor point anymore, but so many in the motor point stand, it does create, because it's the best acoustically, it makes the most noise. And because London Road Terrace, as we know, keeps the noise down, it always therefore makes it like a home game for the away side, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, on the main stand, you got to think you've got the directors and the club officials there as well. Would you want the away fans butted straight up to them? You'd need a bit of a divide, wouldn't you?
Or put them in a terrace and put the terrace fans in the motor point. I understand that they keep opening the motor point up and the uptake is low. But the reason for that is people have already got season tickets in the London Road Terrace. So why are they're not going to move to somewhere else? The only way that we're going to make this happen long term is if we open up season ticket holders in the motor point and try and encourage them there rather than in the London Road Terrace.
Yeah, I mean, it worked well Northampton at home, I mean, I think in the home end, there was about 750. So it wasn't masses, but there was a good to and throw from the Northampton and Posh fans. So it made for a good atmosphere in that sense. But again, should you transfer, you know, the London Road end to the new stand, there's going to be old fossils in there moaning that, oh, I've been in here since 1934. And you're going to... They're going to annoy somebody.
A long time. They'd do well to stand for that long.
Some of them look like
that. That's my kind of joke, Sam. That's my kind of joke. I love that. Yeah, but the point, I get what you're saying, but like, surely if you go in the London, there's two reasons why you'd go in London Road Terrace, right? One, because it's the cheapest of the four stands to go in, or two, because you want the atmosphere. Well, you can make the atmosphere better in the Motorpoint stand, because if you've got the away fans where the yellow block is, then you're immediately next to them. So you've automatically got that back and forth between the two fans. That would naturally create a better atmosphere. Now, in terms of being cheaper, maybe then the club has to just swallow it on this one and go, OK, we'll make the Motorpoint season ticket prices the same as London Road Terrace for a couple of seasons. We'll slowly wind down the London Road Terrace, or we'll make that, I don't know, away fans, however you want to do it, but just let's try and encourage more fans into the Motorpoint and try and grow the fan base there, because that's what's going to create that home atmosphere that Fergie clearly seems to want.
I think now's the time to do it. The safe standing didn't go down well, did it? And fans don't enjoy being in London Road as much as they used to before. So if they're going to transfer it, I'd say, yeah, now's the time.
Yeah, just a few points. One, I'm fully aware of why Jared said 1934. Great reference. Secondly, when watching the game on Sky against Stevenage, it was interesting how they were singing the classic, we're on the right side of London Road, we're on the left side of London Road. And you could barely hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, you could barely hear it come through. So it answers that point. And the third thing on Fergie, yeah, he's just prickly because he knows that they probably should have won. And there's something there and he's annoyed. And it's, you know, so soon after the full-time whistle, because Jared's absolutely spot on. You know, look how many times we wilted in front of big crowds in the Championship. And, you know, if we cannot get up for a game like that, then we do not deserve to go up. And I'm not saying we weren't up for it, because we were excellent. You know, we play well, but I'm not comfortable with it setting that sort of mindset that we shouldn't be selling out the stadium if it means giving 4,000 fans to the opposition, because it gives them an edge. You know, we've got to be better than that.
Yeah, I just think it's where you put them, because if you put those Pompey fans, like I say, in the main stand or wherever, next to a vocal home support, which is currently in the London Road Terrace, which nobody can hear, if you put that noise from the London Road Terrace in the Motorpoint stand, suddenly London Road becomes a fortress for away teams to come and try and play in. I imagine if you took the same number of fans from each side in that Pompey game, but put the London Road fans in the Motorpoint, that's a completely different atmosphere. It would ramp up even further. I feel like that would have been a sensational atmosphere to be part of. But anyone that's sat in either the family stand, the main stand, or the Motorpoint stand knows that you cannot hear the Posh fans from the London Road Terrace. If you go in the terrace, it's really loud. But outside of that, it's just no noise comes out of there. I don't know. Nathan, what do you think?
First of all, I'm very surprised that Fergie went after people that work behind at the club, behind the scenes. I'm very surprised he did that, knowing how close he is with all of them. I thought, yeah, it's a little bit of a cheap shot. I'm surprised he did that. But again, I do understand that those interviews do happen relatively quickly. And he is probably, as Sam says, just annoyed that we've not won a game that we've been really, really in. And it's, you know, one of those very, very difficult games to come out on the other side with 3 points. But I think it is. It's that weighing up of financial, you know, gain versus, you know, I guess performance element involved in it. It's difficult to weigh that up. And when you've got, you know, 4,000 fans who will fill out that end as they have done, it's very difficult to turn that down from a financial point of view for the club. But yes, it does come at the detriment, I think, of us in terms of that edge, as Sam has mentioned. And he's rightly said that, you know, we shouldn't really be affected that much by it. It should be a case of, you know, making us a fortress and us being able to kind of shut that out and play our game. So I'm kind of, as much as I don't want to be, I am on the fence with it, because I do see both sides to it. And it's frustrating, because I think if you have less Portsmouth fans, say there's only 2,000, then I think there's more of an argument to put Posh fans behind there. But it's getting that, I guess, supporter base that goes behind the goal, that side. It you know, I've sat behind there. It is a decent view, but ultimately, you know, I understand a lot of people prefer the atmosphere and the noise, and I guess they feel sort of more connected, I guess, when they're in the London Road end. So it's such a difficult one to weigh up which way is the best direction to go, unfortunately. But I do think we tend to play better when we have fans behind the goal, or at least our own fans anyway.
That was an interview style answer, Nathan. That was...
I'm learning from Sam.
I mean, it's a fair point though, Sam. It was a very good job of answering without answering. You should be a football manager, Nathan, actually, I reckon. I don't know.
Practice in my spare time, Tim.
Yeah, you'd have to. Well, yeah, but you would have to start blaming referees a little bit more. That's the only.
Yeah, no, I'll read Evans's autobiography.
Because Steve Evans can't.
Picture the scene: all of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, that's the only problem. It's all to play for, though, as we come into these last few games. International break up next, Jared. I don't know if this is a good thing or not. A couple of call-ups for us. Hector Kipriano is off to Cyprus. And then we've got two in the England youth setup. Ronnie Edwards, quite a surprise. But also, Jadel Katongo has been called up to play alongside him. And I understand you've heard from a certain source that Jadel Katongo will shortly be sold for £100 million.
Yes, I did listen to the Hard Truth podcast, and Darren did make that as a statement. Obviously, don't repeat that. We can't have any salacious headlines coming out of the podcast, so be careful with that one. Although I would say Katongo, I think I've been critical of him at right back. He's been brilliant, hasn't he, recently? He's been really, really good. Yeah. So that solved one of the issues that we had, because we were all saying, well, certainly I was, that right side was a real worry. So, no, he's slotted in perfectly. He's done really well and deserves his call-up. I had a couple of days after the Pompey defeat, and I'm feeling quite positive going forward now.
Yeah, I mean, it's one day. It was yesterday we played in Europe, but...
Mate, listen, I keep thinking it's Monday. I'm not normally here on a Sunday, am I? That's why.
No, that's very true.
I have long old weeks, Timothy. We don't have outside hospitals playing Game Boy.
No, it's just playing Game Boy. No, that's very... I wish I did start again. I played Pokemon on there. The old Pokemon Red. That was the era to be alive. That was. I really want a Game Boy now.
Just quickly, actually, now we're going nostalgic. I can't remember who I was chatting to the other day, but I mentioned Tamagotchis, and no one knew what I'm... Oh, you do know, yeah. No one knew what I was on about. Like, what do you mean, Tamagotchis? But you know, I'm getting a lot of...
Yeah, and we've had an MSN throwback as well. Nathan, do you know what Tamagotchi is?
I've heard of it. I'm not too sure what it is, but MSN, yes, that was my era.
Tamagotchi was like a little wristwatch sized device, and basically it was like a crappy little animation of a pet, and you used to have to feed it, play with it.
And then
if you were like the cool kid at school, you had the Tamagotchi that was like 16 in one, and you could pick from like 16 different pets rather than just like the
you
dog
had
or
one
cat.
You were that kid, weren't you?
I was that kid, yeah. Also, do you remember those? There was a stage where you could buy those little like dinosaur eggs. No, dinosaur, alien eggs. They're in like egg-shaped containers, and they were like goo, and then they would grow an alien. Do you remember this, or have I just made that up?
Oh, they still do them now. My little lad's got one.
Do they? So you're looking confused. I'm guessing that wasn't a thing.
I don't remember them quite so much. Obviously the Tamagotchis, and there was Digimons and ones like that as well, weren't there? Loads of different ones, but don't remember the goo one.
No, that's a new thing, Tim. I swear, I didn't have it as a kid.
Do you remember the old Merlin sticker albums? Do you remember them?
My lad went to football yesterday morning, and the coach gave him a sticker album at the end. So I'm literally staring at the latest.
It's still a thing.
Sticker album. Yeah. I don't normally. This one will probably go in the bin because I'm not spending £800 and remortgaging my house to complete it. It's bad enough doing it every 4 years. I still do it for the World Cup because
Have you ever completed one?
I've completed 2010, 14, 18, 22, last four. Basically, when I've been able to have some
2006,
fun.
Yeah.
When I've had this.
Yeah, really, really good to do. Comment.
But when you get down to like, you know, you just need Le Bouff or whatever, do you just keep buying packs until you get it?
You swap.
Yeah, but
where are you swapping it? When you drop your kid off, you don't stand in the playground and see what dads are about.
Exactly what you do.
No. How do you? You swap with who? I mean, before the internet was a thing, like when we were all young, and you had, you know, you just
never needed completed one when I was young.
Right. Because I wonder how that worked. If you needed like a, I don't know, a Nicky Butt, like how would you find who had that one to be able
well,
to?
Well, used to. So I know this because I was clearing out some stuff recently. I had the first one I did was 96. And it advertised dates in the album of swap sessions. So in the big cities like Manchester, wow. Newcastle, Leeds, on a day you go and they just have loads of swaps. So actually it was better than the internet because you just go and you'd have basically access to any swap. Never went to them, but you could. That's how they did it in the 90s.
So that's how you filled an album. Hold on, Nathan, how old are you?
28.
So you would have been, there must have been a thing when you was at school, but I guess...
Yeah, no, there were, yeah. I did the 2006 one, I remember doing that, and I think I was a few away from finishing it. I never managed to.
Oh, does that not bother you? You're going to regret that when you're on your deathbed, you know.
It probably is, yeah. It probably is somewhere in a loft or something. But yeah, no, I used to do them when I was younger, but not quite as avidly as it sounds like Sam did, to be honest.
No, Sam, it doesn't surprise me that you've filled a couple of them albums, if I'm honest.
What you're saying is I strike you as the kind of guy who has no time, no, who has too much time or only wants to spend time with himself sticking in stickers. Basically, you're saying I'm sad. Thank you, Tim.
No, it just sounds like you're very, very proud of the fact that you completed a couple of them.
And you travelled to Manchester to swap with some random 8-year-olds.
I didn't do that as a 6-year-old.
I mean, how much are packets of stickers now?
We have gone so far off topic, but let's keep going. There used to be like 35p for 7, and then they reduced the number you get and then increased the price. So I think the latest World Cup one was, I can't even remember. Was it like, is it like 50p for 5 now or something? Or yeah.
I remember it's 20p. Yeah. I swear when I was doing it.
I remember it used to be free because I used to nick them out of the Londis. But yeah, well, there we go. That's, just for the record, that didn't happen. Obviously,
I bet it did.
The best sticker album that I ever had was, actually, I think my brother might have had that, was there was a Nationwide when it was Nationwide, and it was back then before the Championship. It was Division 1, Division 2 and Division 3. So it was a Football League one. So you got a sticker of Peterborough. They had the team stickers that were split into two. So I've got Peterborough in that lovely Thomas Cook kit.
And then you have to line them up, though, the team ones, don't you, where you've got two, you know, if you've only got like half of Swansea or whatever, and then you have to travel to Manchester.
I think Barry Fry's head is mismatched in my one.
Yeah, good times that, you know. There was nothing, they were the days, coming home from school with a wad of 12 packets of stickers.
I've never felt more of a virgin in all my life.
Says well, the man with a Hoover behind
No, Jared. I think it's absolutely feel like that.
Nathan's just absolutely smashed that. It's a valid point.
It's full as well, Nathan.
Anyway, back to, I don't know how we got from Hector to Kipriani.
I asked about a Tamagotchi.
Oh yeah, you did. You know they're a thing, Nathan. It's like, I mean, there's probably apps for that now where you can look after,
like Pokemon Go and that kind of.
You'd have to look after the Pokemon in Pokemon Go. That's the only thing. So.
Tim, you're host of the season. Get us back on track. Come on.
I'm not quite sure how we got from Hector Kipriani to Merlin sticker albums, but there we go. Next three games for us then. Home to Carlisle on Good Friday, away to Orient Easter Monday, and then we travel to the capital to play a certain Wycombe Wanderers. At the time of recording, we have sold just over 11,000 tickets, and tomorrow tickets go on sale to everybody. Last time out, we sold around 20,000. Jared, do you think we'll beat that?
I did. Well, I said about 25, didn't I? I think in the group chat. So I'm going to stick with it. Because it's only been available to, is it 270 points? And then the, is it 15 above?
Yeah, it goes out to everyone tomorrow morning. So
yeah, so there'll be a lot of day trippers. So yeah, I think we've got to get over 20. The thing is, it's all well and good having it at Wembley. And we've just been speaking about atmospheres and grounds. But say if you've got 40,000 there. In Wembley, it's nothing. It's like, it's just red seats everywhere. So yeah, Dengue Marks can be a great day out. But I almost wish Bradford would have got there.
Yeah.
Because they would have filled their side, no problem whatsoever. Yeah. Weird a look to the minnows, but still, half the ground would have looked decent.
Yeah, I completely agree. Nathan, obviously timing-wise, this isn't wonderful for you, but you must still be looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am going to unfortunately have to watch it from a telly screen.
I have
begged, borrowed, bartered everything, but no, I cannot, unfortunately. So yeah, enjoy yourself.
Well, just remind us why.
So the game is on the 7th and I'm getting married on the 10th, and I have been reliably informed that I will have so much to do the day before.
That's 3 days away.
We've just been talking about the podcast, and in the old days we used to just call each other and say, look, you know, when can we record? And we were discussing it one day, and we said, can we record on the Monday? And Kisby said, yeah, no problem. Danny said, yeah, not a problem. Jim said, no, I can't record on Monday because I'm going out on Friday. And was all like, what? And that's just kind of gave me, you gave me Jim vibes, Nathan.
Yeah. The annoying thing is that the missus is having her hen do the day before the game. And I said to her, well, why don't you put it on the Sunday? And then I can go to the game on the Sunday. And that's my excuse to get out of the house. But yeah. Basically, we've got too much going on.
Why do you have to be there if your missus is there? Isn't on her hen do?
It's a stendu, isn't it?
Yeah. I've begged, but yeah, we've got too much going on and too many people here, and it just logistically just doesn't work. Annoyingly, I will be watching it. I will find somewhere to watch it.
Did anyone hear that story of that hen do and the stag do in Amsterdam?
Yeah, that's fake, apparently. Yeah, I know the one you're on about.
Everyone said any good story that comes out is fake. Why has this got to be fake?
You mean the one about the dad?
Yeah, terrific, isn't it?
That was months ago, yeah.
Does Sam know what we're on about?
Absolutely.
Sam's far too innocent to listen to that kind of news.
Mate, if it was more than a week ago, I've forgotten it.
Well, I hope she's forgotten it as well, poor old girl.
Do we relay this to Sam? Real
quickly, a stag do and a hen do went to Amsterdam.
Sounds like a really shit joke at the start.
obviously, they go their separate ways in the city. Loads of people do that. And some of the females go to one of these... I wouldn't know, just in case anyone's listening. One of these stingy sex places. And had a go on something, again, I don't know what this is, but something that's called a glory hole. Me and you are far too innocent, Sam. Don't Google it, by the way. And so,
what's one of those?
I don't know, exactly.
You know, foster services, Sam.
is that why you like going to the services all the time, Jim?
So some old boy poked his snot thrower through this hole. And probably Uncle Tell. And obviously, this old girl's shining it. And
I know where it's going.
Yeah, basically, if they're good at it, the man can press a button to release the wall. And if she likes
that's Saturday night TV,
if she likes the old porridge pump, then she can press it. And subsequently, both of them pressed the button. And it was her father she was noshing off. So, yeah, you couldn't think of anything. That's horrific. Absolutely horrific.
And you know what puts the cherry on the top, Sam? They were Cambridge United fans as well. So. Yeah, how did we get onto that? Danny,
I really don't know, but Godspeed
is all I can say.
You've got to keep that in.
We're talking about Nathan, EFL trophy final.
Awkward. Yeah, we're talking about Nathan's wedding, yeah.
We were, yeah. Nathan, you're getting married, you know, a whole 3 days after the final.
I know. I've argued every argument you can think of. I have made.
Leave him alone, Tim. He's in pain. You can see he really wants to go.
Yeah. I genuinely have done everything.
Welcome to the rest of your life, Nathan.
I know. It's
plenty of that to come.
I feel like you should put your foot down here, Nathan. Go, no, it's not. It's only every 10 years. Posh get to Wembley. Granted,
this is coming from a single man, Nathan. Do not listen to him.
I know there is a reason why he's single, Jared. It's because he's not made the right decision previously.
Well, you mean I chose football over women? Yeah,
you must have.
I made the right decision.
I think that is.
Does that imply that you had a decision to make, Tim?
One of us is going to Wembley, and one of us isn't. So you know.
One of us has a telly.
One of us is the daddy, did you just say?
And I said, one of us has a telly. Christ, Tim, how old are you? Death as well.
Who said one of us is the daddy?
Jesus, that made me feel really on edge. I didn't like that.
You're edging to that, Gerard. Is that what you
mean? Oh,
anyway,
really, by the way, I'm really glad I got my headphones in tonight and I didn't just have it
that's true.
Playing out.
Close that though, is she? Ricky J. Jones, Jared, is another player that you've backed throughout this season. Malik Mothershill, meanwhile, is another player that I've backed and literally put my money where my mouth is this season.
And lost money.
What's your opinion on the two at the moment?
Yeah, I like them both. I think if we're comparing them, Ricky offers.
What we are doing. Exactly
well, let me fucking finish then. Ricky offers something in regards to horrendous amount of pace, and he's closing down his second to none. He does not stop. And perfect example yesterday against Portsmouth, he forced their back line into numerous mistakes. When he come on, however, against like we saw against Blackpool, Mothersill is more of an accomplished finisher without a shadow of a doubt. So I think we've got a good couple of options there. Similar in their, obviously, stature, their pace, they're both quick. But yeah, Mothersill was a better footballer. But I would keep Ricky J. Jones all day long. I just think he does offer us something. Whether he's a starter is another thing, but he's I'm still a fan. Sammy. He frustrates the life out of me, by the way. He does frustrate me because he has loads of chances. Yeah. But yeah, he's still a good footballer.
Sam, are you team Windowsill or team Ricky?
I am... See, fence, isn't it? I don't know if you can be a team. I think they work well. We've seen that over the last few months. I think previously I've been team Ricky. I think I was then increasingly being swayed to be team Mothersill. And then now I've settled on the fact that actually there's a place for both of them in the
all
team.
All right, let me reword that then, Sam. Who starts at Wembley?
Who starts at Wembley against Wickham? Mothersill.
On what grounds?
It's Wickham.
So it's a style thing, or it's the physicality?
Yeah, of course you have. I mean, you don't obviously... We know that when you have a settled team, you're in a consistent run of form. But I think we can use those two interchangeably quite effectively now. And it's interesting actually hearing Jared describe Ricky J. Jones as having a horrendous level of pace, because I'd describe myself as having a horrendous level of pace. I think Darren can deploy them quite effectively now.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine watch the Stevenage game on TV. And he said to me, who's the lad you got up front? So I said, Ricky Jones. He just put fast, isn't he? And I put, yeah. And then he followed up about 20 minutes later by saying, but doesn't do much else, which I thought summed up my view on him quite nicely.
Is this another made-up friend, Tim, to just make your point? Like Ginger Pigeon might not be entirely real.
We know his only friend is a Gillingham fan, so that's incorrect, that whole story.
he was the one watching the Stevenage game. Team Snapchat send you a message is pretty much all I get from... or EE when they message me to tell me my direct debits bounce. Nathan, team Windowsill or team Ricky?
I'm kind of with Sam, really. I think you can be team both in terms of... But hold on. Hear the point before you berate. I think Ricky suits playing certain teams, i.e. like a Portsmouth, where they are going to have a lot of ball at the back. They are going to, I guess, have a go at us where he can press from the front. Whereas I think... I will admit Mothersill is a much better finisher and he is a threat in behind from that point of view. So I think in a one-off game, you probably would want Mothersill, but I think for a long campaign, such as a league campaign, I think Ricky J. Jones suits in most games purely because he does press from the front and he is just so good, I guess, off the ball for us rather than necessarily on the ball. And he's proven that, you know, we've been successful without needing what you would call a natural finisher up front. And Mothersill is coming in for, you know, regular game time now and is nicking the goals for us at times. And then in other games, Ricky is just pressing for the front and really, really being a threat from that point of view. So I think, yeah, as Sam says, there is a place for both. And they're definitely both playing their fair share now, which I think is really, really good.
Jared, you look like you had something important to say.
Was it just no, weird? Not really. I was thinking about... I do wish, I know the budget's not there, but should we have been able to get, say, Dwight Gale like Derby did, what difference would that have made? Because we do create a hell of a lot of chances, but we often have to rely on Mason Clark finishing them. And obviously, Poku chips in. But yeah, to have that striker up front, you know, you put it on the plate and they're going to score would be... Well, we've been used to it for many years, haven't we? So I suppose we've been blessed.
He's broken now, Gale, though, isn't he? He's out for a bit now. So
that's a show.
I mean, if we're looking at former Posh strikers, look at the form Taylor's in for Lincoln.
Mm. Well, Lincoln as a whole, they're just unbeatable at the minute, aren't they?
They've scored. They're the team. When you were saying earlier about the playoffs, they're the team to not we don't need to watch out for them. You know, we're fine. But for that sixth spot, I think they're unbeaten in the last 10 or something. They've scored, is it 17 or 16 or 17 in the last three? Taylor's got six in three or something. So
you say we're fine, Sam. They're not going to take our spot in the league, but.
No.
I would not want to play them in the playoffs because it's always that one team with momentum, isn't it? Coming up from 11th, 10th, and they storm it. So, yeah, that is one of the reasons why I desperately want that second spot.
I mean, on Joe Taylor, though, he was always a player who looked like he could do that. He just didn't get enough game time and wasn't given as many opportunities as he, you know, rightly deserved to. I mean, if you look at his form for Colchester, you're looking at a really, really poor League Two side, but he was banging them in for fun there. And now he's capable League One side and he's really, really pushing them up the league. So there's a reason Luton bought him. I mean, Luton are a very clever club from that point of view in terms of picking up talent from the lower leagues and developing them, just like us, funnily enough. And he's just another one off the merry-go-round, I guess.
You've got to be relatively pleased, Tim. It's the 17th of March. We're fourth in the league. Was it 5 points off second? Is it five?
We've got the game in hand. Seven off second.
Seven off second with a game in hand.
Yeah.
In the final of the JPT or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
I think we need to be positive, and with the run in, I feel like we could have a really good end to the season. How are you still negative?
How have I been negative? What did I do?
Well, every time someone says something positive, you're like this, shaking your head about.
And you still have problem understanding that Ricky J. Jones is a worthwhile player to have in
the
I think we started him off, but I shouldn't have mentioned Steve Evans because ever since I mentioned him, his whole expression changed.
No, it's my job to make us, you know, to create the discussion points. I'm buzzing. I'm positive. I was, as much as we lost this weekend, I thought it was actually a really positive sign that we could go toe-to-toe with a team that has been sensational all year long. I think we're looking good. I'm buzzing. I feel like if there's Link, I don't fear anyone, even Lincoln. If I'm Bolton or Barnsley, who are probably the other two that are pretty much nailed on for playoffs at this point, I'm not wanting to play Posh. I'll take either of them on at the minute. The wheels are falling off at Bolton. Barnsley ship goals for fun. I don't fear anyone in this league at the minute.
Do you think autos are gone?
Yeah, autos were gone in February.
People say that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Said it at the time.
Yeah, but no, it's ridiculous. How were they gone?
We were never going to make up that gap. Yeah, after
hindsight, isn't it? Of course.
No, I said it at the time, though. I said that at the time, that we autos were gone then.
That annoys me just as much as when people call a game a must win in fucking January.
It's true, though, Sam. You were eager to jump in.
I just was going to say, didn't you say that there's still 30 points to play for before the port, you know, with a couple of games ago? So,
yeah.
But then you're saying autos are gone. I think there's an outside chance of autos. The way it's set up, it's almost thinking, how often, you know, do you see it when a team plays a team, they play each other in the cup and then they play each other in the league straight after? We're going to do that with Bolton, aren't we? We're going to play them on the last game of the season and then we're going to play them twice more in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen.
Was it? I mean, one of the questions I had, Sam, was obviously that last playoff spot, I mean, that could still go several ways and there's no guarantee that Bolton or Barnsley will stay in there. Assuming it looks more or less how it does now, would you rather have Bolton or Barnsley? And I'm fully aware we're getting ahead of ourselves, but Dan, who has stepped in to do talking points in place of producer Danny, has put this question out there, so clearly wants to know.
I honestly don't, like you said, I don't really care. Don't really, being in there would be the thing. Obviously, it'd be great to get the automatics. I think we've known that we're going to be a playoff team at least for a long time. Barnsley, let's go for them.
Barnsley all day long. They were all right against us in that sort of Christmas period, but I really didn't come away from it thinking, oh, these lot are dangerous, or they're going to be really, really, you know, a difficult side to play at any one given time. I think, we'd comfortably be able to to handle that kind of game. And you saw it, didn't you? Was it last game of the season? That was Barnsley last year. And that was a high-pressure game as well, which conversely means that for me, I think the Bolton game that we got on the last game of the season, I think we should be able to comfortably handle that as well in terms of not being overawed by the pressure. We played a game like that before. It's, you know, literally directly a season after that. So I think in terms of, as Jared's mentioned, the run-in, I think, yeah, we'll be fine. And yeah, I definitely want to play Barnsley, I think, out of those sides.
Yeah, it'd be Barnsley for me as well. I think I wouldn't fear any of them necessarily. I fear the playoff setup just because we're all scarred from last season.
Yeah.
But I think Bolton are a more dangerous team than Barnsley.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's exciting to who's going to make up that four, I think. But yeah, for me, it's Derby and Pompey that got up automatics. They do still have to play each other, of course, and Pompey do have a difficult run-in, but they'll find a way through it. I can't see anyone, even with Gale injured, I can't see anyone catching them two now. I would argue, I mean, obviously the table doesn't lie, but I would argue, based on what I've seen, and obviously like, I've not watched them play every week, but Derby, are they a top two team in terms of how they've played? Well, you have to say yes because they're there. But for me, there's better footballing teams in that top six than Derby. But ultimately, that doesn't really matter, does it? As Steve Evans is proving at Stevenage, you don't have to play good football to get results, it seems. Easter weekend then, in a couple of weeks, Carlisle home up first. You'd like to think this is as close as you can get to a home banker. I never trust Carlisle because they have... so they have possibly the greatest goalkeeper in the Football League, and yet he's their third choice. Bonus points, if anyone can guess who I'm referring to at this point.
It's not that big lad. He used to play for Gillingham.
The Ipswich guy.
Holy.
Yeah, tall man.
Holy shit, that was good knowledge, Sam. He's their third choice keeper at the minute. So, you know...
He's not very good then, is he? He plays for Carlisle and he can't get a game.
Carlisle at home, Jared, should be a home.
Just because he's taller than the goal. That's all the only reason you like him.
Well, much like you only like Ricky Joe Jones because he's fast.
Yeah, but why do you... You always have these weird footballers who are dog shit, but you just like... You love them. Why?
Like Ricky Joe Jones, you mean?
He's not dog shit.
At least Ricky J. Jones is actually belonging to our club.
Yeah. Thomas, we should have bought Holy when he went to Ipswich. That was the time to buy him.
Exodus Gohagan was a postman and you thought he was like the second coming of Makaleli.
Yeah, but that was a bit of a cult following. Nobody actually took the get seriously, but he can't help but love
What was your opinion of Colin Daniel, Tim?
He loved him.
Yeah, not really, though. Who? Yeah, no, not really. Goalkeepers, though. Sam, this is actually a good discussion point. It was one of the positions that's been merry-go-rounded since we last recorded. Bielo was stuck in Fergie's stubborn ways, shall we say, at the detriment of, if I'm honest, Bielo's own form and career, because he then went on to have a couple of absolute nightmares. And since then, Steer's been in. And you have to say, that's good. However, as we mentioned earlier, we've not had a clean sheet all month. Steer still number one for you?
Yeah, I forgot. We were talking about that, weren't we? Because Bielo had the mess up at Wickham, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So that was definitely when we last recorded. And Steer obviously came in because we were talking about what was going to happen for the Tuesday night game, weren't we? Yeah. And then it got postponed. But yeah, definitely Jed Steer for me. I think, you know, it's not just about the clean sheets, is it? It's about the sort of confidence that brings in people and, you know, the name that he's got. And so, yeah, absolutely still Steer for me.
Nathan, is he going to steer us into the playoffs, you think?
Well, we're already there, Tim, I think. We're definitely...
just ignoring that amazing pun, though.
It was brilliant, but I had to put that aside. I think
it's... to Jared at that one. Jared would have appreciated that.
Well, not all of us. But yeah, no, I think Steer is the obvious number one now. I think, just as Sam said, his experience, his know-how, the effect that he's had on the team, and I think it will continue to have, especially when it comes to a promotion run-in. I think, yeah, he'll definitely be the number one, and it makes logical sense as well. I think, unfortunately, Bielo's sort of dropping form has kind of come at the wrong time, I guess, for him, and Steer's definitely taken full advantage.
Is he going to keep driving us forward, Jared?
Yes. Although, I don't want to say it in case I look silly, but I thought Pompey's goal, I don't know, when I looked at it the first time, I thought maybe he could have done better with that. But again, I haven't seen it the second time, so I don't want to push
Where does he rank in amongst the plethora of goalkeepers that we've had over the last few years?
Well, highly, because we've always got shit keepers. So,
for well, how me, do we though? I don't know if that's fair.
Well, not
start,
sure. No,
we start the season with shit keepers, but we seem to end the season with like the likes of Bursic and people.
I'm
like
exaggerating
that.
To make a point. You remember that?
Yeah.
No, we've not. Yes, he's a very good keeper. I don't think he'll be with us long because he brings our favourite statistic of having a young squad down. Yeah. So I think he'll get moved on. But yeah, no, he's really good. He's really good.
Go on, Sam.
I think that's an interesting point about how we seem to end with, even if they're not a great keeper, a name, you know, mm-hmm. Bursic, you just named, obviously, you know, when he came from Stoke. And even Norris last season, obviously, has come from sort of Premier League championship calibre. Interesting to see him obviously doing so well now at Portsmouth. I remember Kisby saying that, you know, Norris is one of the worst keepers he's ever seen at Posh, and he's obviously gone there and done well. So is it, yeah, the pattern that we've had over the past few seasons of really changing the keepers and then ending with like a you know, someone who's come from a higher league or a position of experience to be with us, yeah. Has that been a definite pattern over the past few seasons?
And it's one of the areas that Darrow refuses to invest in summers, and I really wish he would. You know, why can't we? We're good at plucking players out of non-league. Let's pluck a goalkeeper out of non-league and have them for 5-6 years. Have them putting up a ton worth of appearances. I feel like it's the one position that I understand why he doesn't, because they don't hold their value.
I'll tell you what does hold the value: a decent football pitch. I'm sick of playing on cow patches.
Do you think it's affecting our ability to play the way that we want as well? I noticed this against Pompey. A lot of the time, the ball was holding up at times where we're trying to break quick.
Yeah, 100%. Not just holding up. Obviously, a lot of the passing that we do out from the back, I think Burrow's got done a couple of times where, say, Archie Collins is passing the ball and it's bobbled over his foot. And it hugely affects, especially when you want to play a brand of football that we do. You have to have a good enough pitch. And it's embarrassing for me because, as a fan, I think it was two or three weeks ago, we got called off, and so did Burton Albion. The only games in the Football League. You're like, why have we just... But we've got a fan zone, haven't we, with a couple of gazebos, so let's not moan.
It's a fair point, though, Nathan. The pitch has got to be detrimental to what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, I think you can see that when you watch the games. It just seems, yeah, it makes the game a little bit slower, which, you know, I think our game is built around pace and breaking quickly and moving the ball through the thirds really, really quickly. And yeah, definitely the pitch doesn't help that at the minute. I know Darrow on his podcast recently said that next season, obviously, they're going to invest in a new pitch. They've brought in a new company, I think he said. So I guess that's positive news, but it doesn't really help us this season. I guess with the weather, it probably will start to improve slowly but surely, and there'll be a lot more sun. So hopefully that will mean the grass can grow and they can slowly start to improve it a little bit that way. But it is what it is. We've unfortunately got to handle it. And you know, we should be a good enough footballing side to win most games on that pitch, I think, you know, regardless of the state of it.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, Sam, because it doesn't help us right now, but I suppose it's encouraging if Darrow has says that he's, you know, sowing the seeds to next season. No? Okay. Well, if there's any consolation, we could see what you were looking at on your phone there in your glasses reflection. Interesting choice of category.
Glory holes.
I really wanted to know more about that story.
That's what you're actually searching up. Yeah, but no, so it's a valid point, isn't it? The pitch is costing us points. Would you go that far?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And especially because of the style of football we want to play. And it's been, you know, this is not recent. You know, this has been a good few months now, hasn't it, that it's been like that. So, yeah, it needs to be sorted out.
Yeah, fair enough. I can't give you a prediction league update because producer Danny is AWOL at the moment, so he's not sent that across to me. However, let's focus on the next three games. Carlisle at home, Good Friday. Jarrow, prediction for this one?
3-0 Posh. First clean sheet in a while.
2 weeks off, Sam, Carlisle home.
We're going to win 4-0.
Nathan?
3-0, I'll go with the same as Jared. I think we'll definitely score a few.
3-0. I go for... Yeah, we won't... I can't see us conceding to Carlisle, as much as I love the place. 2-0 Posh, I think, on this one. Then on to Easter Monday. Tougher game this, Jared. Orient away.
Yeah, that will be much tougher. It's probably going to be a draw, but I'm going to go positive and say we will win 2-0.
Kipriani will be back for this one, Sam. Old stomping ground for him. Predictions for this one?
And he'll score 6. we'll nick a 2-1.
Nathan?
3-1.
1-1 for me. All right, they're in okay form. I feel like this is a tougher place to go. And then, as much as this is several weeks away yet, the next game after that is a certain Wickham at Wembley. So let's do it, Jared, because there's every chance we won't be recording between now and then. In fact, we'll see you in the Championship campaign next season. That'll be episode 201. Jared, Wickham at Wembley in the Pizza Trophy final.
Yeah, I don't really care if you win it, to be fair. But
Oh, bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Yes, you do.
I'm going. I'll tell you why I'm going. I'm going because I want to take my six-year-old son, who is a posh fan. He's mainly into ice hockey, but he is a posh fan. I've got him every shirt I can to try and keep him as a posh fan, because everyone in his class is like, oh, Liverpool fan, Man United fan. And he said to me the other day, he goes, Dad, I keep telling him I'm a posh fan, but people are like, no one else is. I was like, no, that's why you are a posh fan. Stick with it. And you'll be the one smiling one day, which is obviously a lie. But so I've taken him to Wembley, hopefully just go in there, instills a bit of tin potness into him, and he'll forever be a posh fan like us lot.
Yeah, I'm taking my little into this as well. She's only done one game before, and that was Cambridge at home last season under Grant McCann. So hopefully she'll enjoy this one. Sam, predictions for Wickham?
I think we will. I'd love to just absolutely turn them over.
We never do well against Wickham, though, do we? Does that go out the window in this sort of game, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's a big pitch, isn't it? So we've got a lot of space to play around them. So I think we're going to do them 2-0.
And it's not a cow pitch, which helps as well.
I didn't give my prediction, but I think we'll win on penalties.
Thumbs up. Oh, is there somebody there, Jordan?
The kid I'm just talking about. He's obviously my child. He's just come in.
He's heard every word you've said, and he said, "What? What? I'm not going to be happy."
You bring him here. We'll tell him why Posh is the best team in the world.
Hey, who do you come here?
Come here, Ernie. Who do you support?
What football team do you support?
Posh.
Good lads.
Yes.
Good lads, Ernie. That's what we like to hear.
Are you looking forward to going to Wembley?
Yes.
It's like doing an interview with Steve Evans after he's lost, isn't it?
Do you want a pork pie?
No.
Good lad.
No, but it was referee's fault. Nathan, Wembley, Wickham game?
2-0. I think we'll beat them 2-0. And as Sam says, yeah, I'd love to turn them over.
Yeah, I think it'll be tight. We won't keep a clean sheet at Wembley. Where does this, Sam, you'll know this, what happens if it's level after 90? Does it, like the previous rounds, does it go straight to penalties, or do we get an extra time?
I actually don't know, but knowing the JPT, it'll probably be decided on throw-ins.
Or because it's Wickham, it'll be decided on how many fans are wearing red socks
XG.
Or something. Yeah. Could you imagine Jared if it went to XG? I don't ask what he's doing now.
I actually don't know. I assume it goes to extra time.
Well, in previous rounds have always gone straight to penalties, haven't they? So
yeah, I actually don't know. I actually don't know that.
Well, we'll talk amongst ourselves once you find out. It's not a problem. Jared, what are you doing?
I don't know what's going on. I thought my one-year-old was asleep, but he's just crawled into the kitchen and glaring at me. He said, what are you wearing?
Come here. Well, what are you wearing? White shirt?
No, it's the headphones.
Oh, yeah, bring him up. Let's introduce him to the pod as well.
I don't know what he's doing. Oh, Will, give me a second. Well, talk, man. Do some minutes. I'll be back in a sec.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Audio confirmed. Podcast helps.
Tim. Extra time and penalties in the final.
I think we go to extra time then. I can't take penalties. 3-2 extra time win. The winner comes in the 116th minute and is scored by Ricky J. Jones, who came on.
If that comes true, you should get at least 12 points for the prediction league.
Yeah, he came on in the 87th minute. And did absolutely nothing until he popped up with a goal. Hello, Mini Jared.
he is a posh fan as well, but he just doesn't want to.
Oh, very cute. Ernie's whispering now as well. Ernie, are you looking forward to Wembley?
Ernie said, are you looking forward to Wembley?
Yes.
What's the score going to be?
What's your score prediction?
One.
Not, one what? 1-3. To posh?
Yes.
3-1 posh.
We'll take that. We'll take that, Ernie. That's probably the most realistic out of all the predictions, to be fair. But anyone got anything else they wanted to bring up before we wrap up for our biannual episode?
On the subject of Wickham, do you see the news about them buying Reading's training ground? How does that land with you guys?
Terribly.
They brought Reading's training ground.
Yeah, did you not hear about this?
It was the most corporately worded little tweet ever. That was just, they're in discussions about acquisition of Reading's facilities. Reading are looking to sell their training ground, and Wickham are seemingly the only club interested because they're Wickham.
But why?
They're taking advantage of it, aren't they? They're going to get it on the cheap and therefore get a vastly improved ex-Premier League training ground for probably.
They were talking about this on Talk Sport, and there was obviously they got on about the football family, and it's a great investment for the club buy-in, but is it the right thing to do? But again, this is where it comes into it, that football's a business, isn't it?
Fair enough. Did you know I only found this out the other day, I went for a run. I live about 15 minutes away in running speed from Coventry City's training ground.
Can say hello to everyone, Mason Clark, next week.
I thought you'd moved away from there.
No, the training ground's nowhere near Coventry. Well, it's near Coventry, so I'm sort of between...
You're in Newcastle, aren't you?
I'm near Rugby, it's not far from there.
You can come and see me again then. I'll say it again, you bailed last time. I'm coming to Coventry next month.
Yeah, I'm busy that day. Anything else that anyone wanted to add?
Condoms are cheaper than nappies, Nathan.
Yeah, I think that'll be a thing after the wedding, we'll see.
Yeah. Obviously, Nathan, we'll book you in now for the next episode because I know we've got Christmas in a few months. I'm just messing. I hope if we don't speak to you before, which we won't, let's be honest, I hope that the wedding is as smooth and as well planned as it appears to have.
I mean, she's planned it, so it will go smoothly. Yeah.
Well, no, because I remember one of our very first episodes with yourself, you were attending a meeting with her around the wedding.
Which is what all of that is, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was it, yeah. You've got minutes on the wall behind you.
It's stuff to buy and stuff to finish off, and yeah.
Sam, is that a toy Spitfire behind you? My eyes are horrendous, but is that a toy Spitfire?
It's Bunting.
It's birthday Bunting.
Oh, right.
Okay. Whose birthday was it, Sam? Is it yours?
No, we just have it up. No, it's my daughter's. It's my daughter's.
Actually, you guys have missed my birthday. I didn't want to mention this.
No, we haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, we haven't.
Yes, you have.
When is it?
February the 16th.
Did you get a letter from the king?
I didn't get one single happy birthday message.
No, I'm pretty sure I messaged you.
You might have done, actually. Let me double check now.
Yeah.
I think you did.
I did.
Hold on. Stand by. No, you didn't.
No, I think it did.
Really good content.
Well, anyway, it's not too late to wish me happy birthday now. If you want.
What are you now? Allegedly.
35.
Bollocks.
I thought you'd got a letter from the king, Tim.
35.
Can't be looking like a scrotum at 35.
Sam went to the effort of putting birthday bunting up because he knew he'd missed it. That's why he's got that behind him.
Yeah, that's why I did it, Tim.
Couldn't afford light bulbs, but he's got the birthday bunting up, which is the main thing.
Yeah, all for you.
Thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of The Yellow Block. Be sure to follow us on the socials. We do still exist on there, apparently. Apologies again for the delay in recording this episode. We will try to get back to you as soon as we can and get back to a regular schedule. If we don't speak to you before, enjoy Wembley. Good luck, Nathan. And
this podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.